Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Miracle on Rodeo Drive, starring Louise Duarte in a one-woman show, will not be heard at this time. In its place, we bring you these stunning stories.
This is Gordon Pepper, and this year has been, well, cray-cray.
This has been totes cray-cray.
There have been so many different things that happened both in and out of the studio that we have gone through them and looked at the top 10, and we're going to present them right now. Chico, if you would.
Yes. Not only do we have that, we have the latest in Second Chance action, and whatever news happened in the last 7 days, we've got that too. With Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander, and from somewhere in America, the 10 biggest stories of 2025 on WLTI is on. Let's go.
Wee!
There we go. There we go.
Welcome to the penultimate edition of 2025 here on WLTI. This is episode number 518, the top 10 stories of 2025, with myself and my two brothers from another mother, Chico and Gordon. Gentlemen, Merry Christmas
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Let's get right to it. Story number 10.
Story number 10. The luckiest man in America, the story of Michael Larson, finally hits the big screen with not a bang, not even a whimper, but a loud...
Yeah, exactly. This was one of the most anticipated game show movies that premiered in the fall of 2024 at a couple of film festivals. And in the beginning, there was like, oh, this is going to get Oscar buzz for Paul Walter Hauser.
You know what? Paul Walter Hauser is a really good actor, and he is not done. Anything he's done, even if it's bad, he did it with 100% conviction.
This would
require 100% conviction, because I can't see where they got a single dad blasted thing right, except for the set. They got the set
real
right.
Conviction was anybody that watched the whole movie.
Yeah, and the thing is that the box office worldwide, I have just looked this up, was $482,000.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's enough for a Flacati rug.
I mean. Put it to you this way. Usually art films will gross and then move on wide. And honestly, it was when the interviewer said, oh, we don't even know about the film, we just guessed. I was just like, no. And the thing was is that I actually went to the movie and I actually went and paid full price. And I was one of the people who contributed to this. But it's just not good. And there are so many other better game show movies out there. And of course, again, we all go back to it. The best game show movie ever is Robert Redford's Quiz Show. Fight me.
Yeah, okay? If I'm not mistaken, Bill Carruthers, that is Bill Carruthers spelled with a Y, gave the producers a whole lot of notes and they ignored every single one.
Correct. Yep.
AJ, before we move on.
Yes.
Which $20 investment do you regret the most? This movie? Or if you remember back in the day, you and I were part of episode 1 of season 2 of Celebrity Apprentice when we bought the world's most expensive cupcake.
Honestly, I regret both of them. Can I say...
The cupcake was sort of okay.
Cake was sort of okay. The movie was absolutely awful. Story 9, please.
Seriously. Story number 9. The 9th biggest story of the year. Parvati wins again.
Parvati, and I will let Jay say the unpronounced last name because I can't.
Hello.
That. Has won many things in her existence. She's won Survivor. She's gotten to the finals a number of times. And she's won another version of Survivor. This one called Australian Survivor, Australia versus the World.
Yes.
14 castaways. She wins. She beats Luke Tokey in a quick 10-episode version of the show. But she has been... and she wins, by the way, in a 6-1-0 jury vote. She is one of the few two-time winners of Survivor, as well as the only two-time winner to win on different versions of this show.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Wow. Yeah, I completely forgot about this, but yeah. And didn't she beat Ceri?
I believe there? She did.
She did. Ceri was one of the players, and she defeated Ceri.
Talk about later, I'm assuming.
Maybe. So now put in her, she will add that to her resume, which includes winning Survivor Micronesia, being the runner-up of Survivor Heroes versus Villains, The Traitors 2, almost getting to the end of Deal or No Deal Island 2 as well.
Yeah, she's good.
She's
good. One of the best players of all time, and that win this year kind of sealed it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I completely forgot about that.
Kind of surprised that we're not going to hear from her in 50. Are we going to hear from her in 50? I don't think we are.
No, and I believe, let me just see if she was even called.
I don't think, well, I believe that she was on Survivor Australia versus the World when they were taping for Survivor 50.
Ah.
Okay. She never got a call, according to... according to her, but she was just on Survivor Australia versus the World. So
that would explain it. Okay.
And she's got other things in the fire. So yeah, but would have nice to seen her in Survivor 50. She would have been the 3-time potentially. You don't know?
Potentially. But
good on her. Number 8.
Number 8. The incredible, awful, interesting year of Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel, he wins an Emmy for his job as host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And then ABC decides to kowtow to the administration and pull his show for something he didn't say?
No, it was something that he actually did say, okay? But that being said, okay, I was shocked as everyone else is you when he won the Emmy this year. And he actually had, to me, and I'm going to say this because it's a little spoiler, my best and worst, the worst game show moment of 2025 when he and Matt Damon took over the Millionaire Show and made it about them instead of about the game themselves. It was awful, it was self-indulgent, and it was something not to my liking. Especially after also not having real people contestants for the second season in a row.
Yeah, I
more interesting...
There's going to be a lot to unwrap, and we should unwrap it on next week's episode in terms of that. I actually didn't even have Jimmy Kimmel on my top 10 list. in terms of that, because I thought there was a number of stories that were more important. But I can understand why he did get into a top 10. That all being said, I was one of the people that thought that he would have a chance to win the Emmy this year. Because, as we all know, the Emmys, just like anything else, is a popularity contest. And right. There were reasons why he was popular, whether or not it was for the right or the wrong reasons.
Correct. Correct.
So, but I will say this. Congratulations to Jimmy Kimmel for winning the Emmy. And congratulations on him being able to get his show back, at least for now.
Right.
Until he doesn't.
Right. But it's going to be very interesting. Number seven.
The seventh biggest story of 2025. A litany of losses. Now, we have said goodbye to a lot of people this year, but I don't think you're going to get into the high echelon as you will with Wink Martindale, for one.
Right. And Wink Martindale was the prototypical 1970s game show host. And he hosted a lot of them during the 70s and 80s. Gambit in the 70s mostly, and Tic-Tac-Toe in the 80s made him, you know, an icon. And this is something we also talked about in a while ago, actually, a couple weeks ago, about the generational shift of game show hosts, where now most of the old guard are not with us, and there are less game show hosts in the 70s, Drew Carey, and I mean late 60s and early 70s, like Drew Carey and Steve Harvey, and Meredith Vieira, and there are more of the ones in the 50s, like Ken Jennings, Wayne Brady, and now Ryan Seacrest, happy birthday, by the way, who turns 51 today. So, I mean, Gordon, did you think we would ever see this sort of generational shift we're happening right now?
Well, of course. You know, you wish that it wouldn't happen for a while, but, I mean, people age, we grow old, we retire, we decide, and I mean, you can add Pat Sajak to the list of people that are no longer being game show hosts.
Right, yes.
That matter, and time only knows how much longer Vanna White is going to be around for.
Correct. Well, we're going to see Maggie Sajak in that role, it's just a question of when.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and I'll put it this way. I think when that happens, that will automatically be a top 10. If not next year, then whatever year that's there.
Yes.
In terms of that. So, am I surprised that it happens? No, absolutely not. These things are always going to happen. Do we wish that it didn't happen until a decade from now? Of course. But the one good thing about this, if you look at it this way, with the glass half full, there are a number of really good game show hosts that are there to fill the void from the hosts that are in their 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I mean,
I know. And again, we haven't seen the next younger or young superstar yet.
No, but we've seen a whole lot of people in training over the past five to 10 years, mostly on our phones. We've seen the likes of Scott Rogowski, J.D. Witherspoon, Sarah Priebus, and now with Best Guest Live, we see Hunter March.
Hunter March was also on Genius.
And Sugar Rush. I'm just saying, he's got a career. He's got a big career ahead of him. That's what I'm trying to say.
And honestly. I know that you guys beat him up a little bit last episode, but let's not forget Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, we beat him up because the fact is that he needs a good format. He's a great host, you know.
And we beat him up because we care.
I think he'll get one eventually.
We hope so.
Hope so too.
We absolutely hope so. Final first half story, number 6.
Number 6. The sixth biggest story of 2025. POC and Women Rule Quiz again. Yes, we have our champion of champions in Yogesh Rao. Finally won the big one in Jeopardy Masters this year. Victoria Gross, still the smartest woman in the world.
Yes.
And again, you want to talk about people making strides. They're all in the postseason in Jeopardy. If you take a look at them, we have people of color, the differently abled, women. And I'll tell you right now, I've got some names for you here. Allegra Cooney. Paolo Pasco. And that's just this season ongoing.
This is actually a very big deal. Because, again, we are seeing it in game shows, reality shows, and this is a bigger picture where diversity is not only welcomed, it's encouraged and accepted, pretty much. Last five Big Brother winners were people of color. You have this with Yogesh Rao and Victoria Gross battling
Savannah Louie last week on Survivor.
Correct. Savannah Louie. The fact that, and it's been a few years since the quote-unquote diversity initiative on CBS, okay, it's actually helped make the shows better. And again, really good to see stuff like this.
It really
especially
is.
Especially now. I know we say it every year, you know, but we still have a long way to go. But that being said, it's good to see the progress steps we've made.
I'm
actually going to be a little bit different here. Yes, this is great, but really, if you look at it, this really didn't get much attention before last year, which is when you had an NJ, again, you said this on the last episode, where things really started to break and things really started to get interesting was the mandatory diversity on shows like Survivor and Big Brother. And you're seeing this now in traditional quiz game shows. Obviously, there's no mandatory in terms of that, because I think Jeopardy and other groups always try to be as diverse as humanly possible.
They are, Jeopardy, believe it or not, over the last, you know, maybe 5 years or so, has become incredibly diverse in both gender identity and race as well, and gender as well.
See, I think it's always been like that, but I think the big difference between this year and last year and previous years is that you're seeing a much bigger breakthrough in other demographics that traditionally dominate Jeopardy, and all of a sudden you're having different people saying, hey, listen, save a spot for us at the table.
Exactly. The table is much more wide open, and that's great. That's awesome. Because again, for so long, it has been a He-Man Woman Haters Club, and we're getting better every year, and it's always good to see. Always good to see. Anyway, that's our first half of our stories. We have five more to go. We actually have the regular news. We have Brain Vision News coming up, which is our regular news, and we'll do that right after this. Chico, take us to the news.
All the news you didn't even know you need to know, including the latest on the Second Chance Week on Jeopardy with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1. You're home, but we love to interrupt you. Give us 22 minutes.
And Chico will give us 22 resolutions on North Carolina athletics.
Never losing again.
Go Duke! Go Duke! Duke is the best! ACC football champion Dukes. Yeehaw!
Indeed.
He doesn't even know that they're the Devils.
Saying that they're supposed to invade the Blue Devils, by the way? And you're not even realizing that it's the Devils that are taking over Christmas?
We'll be right back right after this.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI is presented by Survivor 5050 Mad Dog. If you really want to enjoy living out in Fiji for a bloody fortnight or two, take a hit of Survivor 5050 Mad Dog, everybody's favorite mixer. By the way, 21 meets 21. Enjoy responsibly.
Indeed. I thought you were going to do something else, though.
I'll put it in the chat, and I'll consider it for the third break.
Oh, you I'm talking about this. I thought you were going to do that, or is that break three?
Okay, that's break number three. That's break number three right there.
Okay. Gordon, if you would, the cue.
Duke is number one everywhere.
Or that's kind of cool, but something else.
Roll that beautiful dream footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock Tracks. At Rock 104 Rock Tracks, at Doug Morris Games, and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morris every week as he hosts Rock Tracks from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the known Dan Larson.
Multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com. That is the live stream, and of course, on demand on Odyssey and the Rock 104 apps. Okay.
Mr. Gilbert, we need your help.
You need my help?
Mr. Gilbert, I do.
Okay.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Now, are we going to go into the first game of the final, or are we just going to determine who's there?
Because we're going to go to the first game of the final, because we're going to go over the second game of the final next week in the middle of the best and worst of everything. But right now, let's talk about who we've got playing in game one of week two. That is Rachel of Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, Guy Branham from West Hollywood, and Jasmine Cho from Woodland, California, going into the final. We have... Oh, it's really close. It's really close. Rachel has 8,600. Guy has 9,400. And Jasmine has 4,800. Still all of it to play for as we go to a final Jeopardy of French landmarks. The clue. Secularized during the Revolution, this Latin Quarter building has a porch of columns and triangular pediment models on an ancient building.
I did not know this. Because I got caught up on the idea of the of the triangular pediment modeled on the ancient building. I thought it was the pyramid outside the Louvre, which is not.
No, that is not. Gordon, the correct response, please.
Oh, I went, well, I, you know, we haven't talked about the classic game shows in a while. So I said, what is the studio of Pyramid?
No.
It could have been.
Okay, Jasmine and Guy got this right. What is the Pantheon, or the Pantheon, as the French call it? Jasmine got it right, almost a double up. Guy got it right to win the first spot in the final. Next up, Bob Callen out of Lexington, Kentucky, Molly Murray from New York City, and Michelle Tsai, a tutor from Honolulu, Hawaii. Going into the final, Bob is out of it with negative 1,800. So, Michelle, 22,800 against Molly, 13,200. And the final Jeopardy category of authors. Before his sudden death in 2004, this journalist and author was researching the unsolved assassination of Prime Minister Olof Palme.
Olof Palme, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Now, I had the right continent, but the wrong guy, okay? I know who it is, but I said the assassinated journalist, Theo van Gogh. Remember him?
I do remember him. That is wrong. Gordon, the correct
response. It is wrong, though, because the author in question is Stieg Larsson.
Yes, the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yes. Great movie, by the way.
Gordon.
I did not have an answer.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving on to game three with Melanie Hirsch from Silver Spring, Maryland, Andrew Wong from Winnetka, Illinois, and Aaron Himmel from Long Island. And going into the final, wow! We have ourselves a good old-fashioned Mexican staring contest.
Right.
With Andrew at 20,400, Melanie at 20,400, and Aaron at 17,000.
This is actually the first time that she can actually play spoiler and anyone can win, unlike half the other times I used to say that they can play spoiler and they can't.
Right, exactly. And the category in this one is called Holiday Songs. In an early draft, the title line was followed by It May Be Your Last. Judy Garland refused to sing it that way.
I got this.
I knew this. And ironically enough, same day this came out, Randy Ress wrote a post about this particular song. It's called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And the original line was,
It may be your last.
And Judy Garland said, no, that's not the way we're going to do this. And she, and Hugh Martin, who wrote the music, wrote the change, okay?
I got it right here. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be your last. Next year we may all be living in the past.
Whoa, yo! Not a Merry Christmas song. So, the line is, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Much better. Yep. Okay?
You want to talk about depressing? There's a whole other line here.
Next year we will all be kissing Santa Claus, reindeers.
No, it's
have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Christmas.
Champagne.
Pop that champagne cork.
Next year. We may all be living in New York.
Right, but then
I thought you were going to be talking about next year eating pork.
No, it's no good times like the olden days. Happy golden days of your faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us no more.
That's dark.
That's a little...
That's dark!
Yeah, it's dark. Anyway, getting back.
Let's get back to the game. Andrew went for it and missed. Melanie went for it and hit. So, it is Melanie, Guy, and Michelle.
I mean, he was close. He said, what have a holly jolly Christmas? Ah, close. Yeah. So, yeah. Melanie,
Michelle, and Guy played the first half of the two game total point affair. And going into the final, Michelle pretty much owns it, 24,600. Melanie has 6,000. Guy has 8,000. Final Jeopardy category on this Christmas is 18th century lit.
I know this one, actually.
In this work, the boys and girls would venture to come and play at hide and seek in my hair.
There's a reason for that. Because the kids were small and he was big. What's Gulliver's Travels, you see?
That is correct, you see. Gordon.
Jason Elliott, please don't hurt me. They were playing in Rapunzel's hair.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Okay, Michelle missed it.
According to the rhyme, they didn't know where.
Oh boy. Michelle missed it. Melanie and Guy both got it, so it's gonna be a very close game tomorrow as we record this.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Of course, let's make a deal, and Price is Right had their big games this week. Well, PPIR did. I know they played Three Strikes for a Mercedes and lost. They also played Golden Road for an Audi S5, and the guy had it but changed his mind. Oops.
Uh-oh.
What else?
Okay, so we have Grand Game for 25,000. That was one. That's too much for a Toyota Corolla Cross, which is going to be my next car, I bet. That was one. Bargain Game for a home bar and a treadmill was one. A trip to Finland to see Santa was one in Cliffhangers. And that was pretty
good. You realize, of course, that that may not want to be exactly where you want to be seeing Santa Claus. Especially if you've seen Rare Exports.
Krampus.
Oh boy.
Am I right, Gordon? I think?
You are. It's Sinterklaas. And in Europe, Sinterklaas is not treated like a happy-go-lucky fat fellow. He's basically the guy where if the kids are naughty, that's who you send the kids to, and then they don't come back.
No.
Why are we really? Between that and Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, we're really making Christmas dark this year.
Oh, boy. We did play the lion's share this week.
Oh, did they win? When did they win?
Okay, so we banked a trip to London, $25,000, and the final ball, lose it all.
Oh no! Again?
Again! Damn!
Wow. Okay. But again,
if you only have one spin left, you may want to pass it, because if you hit the whammy, you don't come back from that.
No.
Same concept here. If you got one left and you got some nice goodies, you stop.
Yep.
Exactly. By the way, over on Let's Make a Deal, they did the Find the Ace game instead of Find Santa.
Find Santa, yeah.
And by the way, kudos to the TPIR graphics department. They had Rudolph's head and nose going through each one bid display.
I know, that's pretty cool. Pretty awesome.
Yes.
I will say they had three chances to win the big deal. They did not win the big deal. Xavier traded for $4,222.
Yes.
Sharon traded for $3,333. And Ralph traded for a trip to Miami Beach.
Well, I also there was a Worldwide Wednesday trip today to the cast's favorite places, which I believe was Singapore, Lake Como, and some other places. And she, the player played Remember
Vienna,
When,
Bora,
went
Bora,
for
Lake Como and Singapore.
And missed.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of stuff offered, but not a lot of stuff won, which was interesting this week. So.
Yeah, that was, and they played Remember When for that for those trips.
Yes, Remember
and
When. Yes,
it was,
and ironically enough, the two movies that match were both was a Hanukkah movie and a Christmas movie, which was nice. I like
that. Was Elf? No, that was Santa Claus 2.
Santa Claus
and Eight Crazy Nights.
Yes,
both came out.
But again, both shows did an amazing job. They did great. Gordon, you sent me a 8 text, because everyone is off this week, pretty much.
Yeah, we're going from Christmas past, Christmas present to Christmas future, which is usually nice, but we take a respite this week.
Yeah, Monday is the Baking Championship Next Gen preview on food, and New Year's Day is the My Korean Boyfriend, and I believe, hold on, I'm going to look about Culinary Class Wars, because they drop some new they dropped 4 episodes on Tuesday, but I want to just check the release schedule on for this, because you've got 3 episodes on December 30th, which is next Tuesday. Next Tuesday we have 3 episodes, and then the week after that is 2, and then the finale on January 13th. So, again, can't wait for that. But, you know, that's kind of smart. Kind of cool, you know, checking stuff up. This, not so smart.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Are you smarter than David George of ITV America?
Yeah, because, yes, because what they want to do is they want to make Love Island, which is an unreal reality show, into a movie.
I have a snippet of an interview he did with Deadline. He says that season 6 was a lightning bolt for him because it realized that the show operates more like a sport than a television show. He says, quote, "Why are we not taking Love Island and figuring out how we're going to translate into the movie world? There may be something going there. I can't even begin to tell you what it is, but there are those types of conversations," unquote.
I believe from Justin and Kelly is on line 1.
Oh!
From Justin? Yeah, oh, good God, yeah.
Yuck. Can I just say yuck?
Brack. I don't remember what ABC 70s show said that. Cartoon character said that, but yes, brack. Okay.
That was the great Fondue's Magic Rabbit in Laugh Olympics.
I remember Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics.
Brack.
But we go from smart to haterade, and this haterade is not a negative. It's not a negative at someone. This is just nasty stuff, bad stuff. Bring it. Haterade! Yep. So. Mickey Lee, who was on this past season's of Big Brother, is in critical condition right now after multiple cardiac arrests. There's nothing really, you know. On her Instagram on Monday, she's in critical but stable condition, is in an ICU. She experiences cardiac arrests stemming from flu-related complications. She's been surrounded by medical professionals and loved ones, but the road ahead will be long and challenging. There is a GoFundMe page for her. And at this moment in time, I'm literally just checking. It is 31,000 out of 40,000. And I'm trying to see where, yeah, here we go. And some of the top donations are, I don't know if they're, Danielle Reyes, I believe she's a Big Brother player, donated yes. 300. MCK Restaurant donated 1,000. Isaac Hayes donated, but this was a stunner earlier this week.
It was
really a stunner.
A statement was posted as recently as today, as we record this, on Mickey Lee's Instagram. A loving request from Mickey's family. Our hearts are heavy as we walk through a critical moment regarding Mickey. We feel the love surrounding us. We are incredibly thankful. Right now, our family needs quiet space and uninterrupted time to focus on our care and on one another. We respectfully ask that calls, texts, and messages pause for now. Your prayers mean more than words, and we will share updates when we are able. Thank you for honoring our need for privacy during this very difficult time. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and obviously all thoughts and prayers from us go to them.
Indeed, indeed. So where are we going this week?
We are going around the world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
Because we've got the Chase Around the World.
Okay.
A series is a primetime reality competition spinoff to The Chase. Production is due to commence early next year and will be produced by Potato, who also produces Beat the Chasers and The Mothership. Details are being kept under wraps, but our friends at TV Zone understand the show will involve pairs of contestants answering questions and solving puzzles while traveling around the world to be in with a chance of winning a huge cash prize. ITV has not yet announced it, so it's not clear how close to The Chase this new format will be, or whether Bradley Walsh or any of the Chasers will be involved.
That's interesting, but I'm sure that we'll get some new perks out of
it. Amazing Race, like, it really does.
The Amazing Chase.
It's The Amazing Chase, pretty much. Yes.
And we will find some media pros.
Yeah, we will.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Jimmy Kimmel will deliver Channel 4's alternative message.
He did. Oh, he did. Just trust me. He did.
Victoria Corin Mitchell would not be caught dead playing a quiz because she's a great quiz master, not a good quizzer, she says. But none of them are your pro of the week. And your pro. Oh, wait, hold on. We did lose William Rush, an actor who was on Coronation Street and then tried out for The X Factor. And Chris Ray, who sang Driving Home for Christmas and was in episodes of Bingo Lotto, Shooting Stars, Pop Quiz, and Call My Bluff. But we're staying in the UK for our pros of the week. And it comes with a gigantic paycheck. Yes.
Yep.
More Ant. More Deck. Yes, they've signed off for another 3 years. The hosts will have been on the network for 30 years by the time the latest contract expires. So the new deal will put them at their 30th anniversary with ITV. Remember, they are the hosts of I'm a Celebrity, Limitless Win, Britain's Got Talent. I'm a Celebrity,
get me out of here.
And
don't forget the Not-So-Entertaining Ritter.
They've won 48 National Television Awards and 18 BAFTAs. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Saturday Night Takeaway is not going to be back, and Ant got himself a little better this year through rehab. But do we know how old Ant and Dec are?
I imagine that they're each in their early to mid-50s, but I will look.
Yeah, they are actually both 50. So.
Wow.
There you go. Well, they've been there. They've been there since they were 20.
Dec still looks like a little kid.
Yeah, indeed. But.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I'm shutting down because. Get it? We got 5 more stories to go in the top 10 of 2025, and we'll be back momentarily with them here at 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by the Winter Trader Snowmen. That's right. Which of the snowmen are real? Magical snowmen with a magical corncob pipe and a wooden nose. And which of them are humans wearing snow outfits? That is the Trader Magical Snowmen. Jack Frost is not the only thing nipping at your nose.
That sounds cute. Murderously cute, but still cute.
Indeed.
Have you ever seen the Jack Frost series?
Yes, I have.
Then you know.
Yes, I do.
We do know. So, back to the top 10 of 2025 here at 5 and 1. We've covered the bottom 10. You want to reset that for those who...
Yes, I do. Okay, so number 10 was The Luckiest Man in America. Bombing. Number 9. Parvati wins again on Australian Survivor. Number 8, Jimmy Kimmel wins an Emmy but almost loses his job. Number 7, a year of losses in the big game show world. And number 6, Who Run the World? Girls and people of color and the differently abled.
Indeed. Now we get back to number 5.
Number 5. Jazz and Jack make history. Yes, Jazz and Jack Baines. Jack Baines, of course, the champion of a couple years ago, Big Brother, comes back on the Amazing Race European Adventure with his brother Jazz and becomes a two-time reality TV show champion. Now, I'm not going to say that they had it in the bag, because there were times when they were not leading, and there were times when they had to fight.
They were not, but they used everything to their advantage, and Gordon, we have competition for reality show players of the year, don't we? We do.
We do. We do indeed. This is going to be fun. You know, this year is no dearth of good game show moments and game show contestants. This has been a really good year for that, and I think it's only going to continue next year, to be quite honest.
Now I have a question though. The rumor is that Jazz wants to be on Survivor to make the triple. If he goes on there and wins, would he be the greatest reality show player of all time?
He could be. We'll have to see how he wins.
Right, exactly. If he goes on and how he wins. But, again, Jazz and Jack make history. Amazing Race still needs to get a little better, because this year was a little... unconventional, I will say. And we will see what they do next year and next season. Because I believe the season is already wrapped, right? The new season is already wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We'll see. Number four.
Number four. Survivor 50 in the hands of the fans. Yes, Survivor 50 is next year, but that didn't stop us talking about it. Specifically, the cast and how two of the best people out of season 49 were plucked to play season 50. That would be Savannah and the R-I-Z-G-O-D, baby.
Right, yes.
And humble.
Yeah, modestly humble. But we also have to talk about all the stuff, okay, all the stuff that is going around it. We're talking about the Survivor Idol Hunt. We're talking about in all 50 states. We talked about how they leaked, how they prevented the leakers from happening. But Gordon, here is the interesting thing. We talked about it, I believe, on last week's episode during the finale, right? That this season 50 could be a paradigm shift, TM John Moxley, in the Survivor universe, potentially, yes?
Yes, we're going to see how they do it, how that's combined with Beast Games, which I think will be mentioned as one of the top 10 stories of 2026. And we'll see exactly how they play it. Are they going to be serious? Are they going to make it a Saw 7 style event? And if you've seen Saw 7, you know what I'm talking about.
Huh? Well, I'm wondering to see if Survivor 50 is going to be an outlier per se with all the celebrity involvement, Mr. Beast, things of that nature, and when they do Survivor 51 in the fall of, you know, when they start filming Survivor 51, if they're going to go back to, say, Survivor 49 or incorporate some of the Survivor 50 elements. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I think time will tell. I think we expected certain elements from Winners at War, Survivor 40, to be incorporated in future seasons, and it was not. It was just exclusive for 39 and 40, so we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Down to the top three.
We are number down to the three. Top three. Number three. Ryan Seacrest, year two.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune had a monster year this year. And again, it's amazing how comfortable Ryan Seacrest is in year two to watch it. He is so interactive with the contestants. He's fun to watch. It's really a pleasure to watch Wheel of Fortune now. It really is. And, oh, by the way, we had our first $1 million winner in 14 years this year.
Yep. Christina Derevyanchuk.
Yes. Gordon, your thoughts?
My thoughts is that, yeah, Ryan finally gets a $1 million winner. I definitely think Wheel of Fortune has dramatically improved. I'm not sure I would have put this high up, but Seacrest is certainly holding his own on that. And it's not just Seacrest, it's also the writers and the puzzles. They've gotten a little bit more original, a little bit more unique, and a little bit more risque, though not in the really major part of risque.
You know, but
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. And Chico, we're idiots, okay? Because I just thought about something. The biggest story about Wheel of Fortune is not Ryan Seacrest going. It's the DraftKings Casino Week we saw earlier this year.
Yeah.
Okay. DraftKings, with the bonus round, with our friend Chorzy, was one of the most unique weeks that Wheel of Fortune has done in a long time, and it was a major success. That's why it could be so high up, too.
That's okay? Why it could be so high up.
I mean, at least to me. So.
I mean, Wheel of Fortune is definitely, in the last couple of years, now that we have Ryan Seacrest here, let's try putting everything on the wall and seeing what sticks. Turns out the things that they do try aren't very good.
Yes.
Next one.
Number two, the runner-up story.
Number two. Jeopardy and Wheel go streaming. Yes, it took a long frickin' time, but Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are finally available on a streaming platform.
And it's also very interesting because they, you know, these were the two last holdouts, you know, with Let's Make a Deal and Price is Right on CBS All Access. But to me, this was the last holdout. They don't, I mean, they have some libraries, and they only keep the last five episodes on streaming, but maybe they'll get it better, but this was a monster announcement this year.
Actually, honestly, for me, it was a What Took You So Long event.
Yes, well, yeah, exactly. You're right, but it was a big announcement, though. You're correct. You're absolutely correct.
Yep.
But we have some honorable mentions that we want to talk about before we get to the top 10, top number one story of 2025.
Yes, we do.
This one's an obvious one.
Yeah. First of all, we have Changing Networks, more specifically for Weakest Link on Fox and Pop Culture Jeopardy on Netflix.
Right. Well, yes.
The Lion's Share on The Price is Right, which we talked about. First new game in a fair age. Buzzer turns 10 this year.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big deal. But one thing Buzzer needs to do is get a little bit more different product. Not that the product that they don't have is great. But, and also, I'll throw in an honorable mention, too.
Uh-huh.
About the idea that sites and people are finding game show, lost game show media, if you understand what I'm talking about. Like the Game Show Vault and other sites like that. Not that I'm promoting a specific one, because I don't necessarily want to. But I'm just saying that there's been a lot of lost media out there that we've seen in 2025.
Yep. I mean, Game TV alone has put three lost Bill Cullen titles on their platform.
You know?
There you go.
Rachel's Big Screw Job.
Huh?
In Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I still think that the producers got her off because she was going to win the whole thing. I really do. I'm one of those people because no one saw it coming. No one, you know, I mean, did they play it right? Yeah. But it felt like it was a forced eviction. You know what I'm saying? That's me.
Alright, anyway, I think we all know what number one is, but let's make it official, Chico.
Alright. The number one story of 2025. The business of game shows is business. Yeah, so we've had Sony and CBS coming to terms with what they're going to do about Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. That's one. Skydance buying out Paramount. That's another. Skydance wanting to buy out Warner Brothers Discovery, but not over Netflix's dead body. So, yeah.
Yeah, and we have all sorts of tomfoolery in 2025 that we know is going to be stretching out into 2026.
But the thing is that all these mega moves that are going... Oh, and you could also throw in the, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, Disney, ABC. That's part of that, too. Okay? The CBS News thing with Barry Weiss. The fact is that right now, the biggest story of this year is where media is going to be, who is going to own the media, and which companies are going to support game shows and reality shows. And we don't know yet. With this chaos that we have here,
pretty much,
you know, it's gonna be real interesting. Oh, and I posted this. The big story that we're talking about business. Remember, next year is the new contract for SAG-AFTRA, okay?
And there's already been on that where they're trying to tempt SAG-AFTRA for full big health care if they make the contract from 3 to 5 years. So we're already hearing stuff on that. So you better believe that's going to be a story in 2026.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Because SAG-AFTRA actually are talking about negotiations now. They just put out an update last week about the bargaining. Okay. They want and the formal negotiations are going to start February 9th, 2026. Because they don't want another strike. No way. They do not. TV is on its legs, and we have a new voice that's going to negotiate. And that, by the way, is Sean Astin, who is the new president of SAG-AFTRA. So, going to be very interesting stuff.
Indeed it is. Well, there is our list. If you think that we got it wrong or we did something that we missed or something, you're welcome to shoot us an email or follow us on all social media. But in the meantime, we are going to get ready for the best and worst of everything next week right here on WLTI. Stick and stay. We'll be right back. WLTI is powered by Glass Joe Logan Paul. That's right. He is everybody's favorite brother of everybody's favorite podcaster, and now he's out for revenge for his brother getting his jaw broken twice. But will he get what he's looking for, or will somebody go in for a third time? That's Glass Joe Logan Paul coming to a ring near you in 2026.
No speed round this week.
No speed round we are literally in the doldrums right now. We're just in our chill right now. That's what we're doing.
And again, we're not taking off in the beginning of the year as we thought we would do because, you know, it don't work that way no more. No, it don't. So next week
I'm
is the best
on vacation
of
a couple weeks. These two jokers are going to be running the show.
That's true. Yes. So next week is the best and worst of everything, where we talk about the best reality show moments, players, formats, casts, hosts, and we're going to talk about why we think that show is the way it is. And that, of course, is one of our favorite times. That we'll be recording either New Year's, probably New Year's Day.
Yes.
Sometime around New Year's Day. But we're going to plug our stuff, of course. I've been away just due to life and reality on the BS, but week 17 has started with a little bit of clinchmas, with three games that really didn't matter, but were kind of entertaining.
Well,
you know?
Well, one did kind of sort of matter because the Lions needed to win tonight against the Vikings in order to stay in the playoff race. They did not. So they are eliminated.
Of course, all time that, for that.
Yeah, of course, that sets up week 18 SNF for the NFC South, if you ask me.
I believe Nikki and I and the rest of the crew will not be doing it this week because next week is the year in review, the Nikki Awards and such, talking about all the big stories in wrestling in 2025, and there were a lot. Gordon, UBA, are you back to it yet or not?
Of course. Title weekend, WCS, all titles on the line this weekend. Yeehaw.
UBAToday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. And with that, Chico, take us home, I think.
Whoa.
Oh, you got it. Was a thing. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yes, we have an episode, It Happened One Christmas, which is that story you heard about a man who sees life anew thanks to an angel. Except it's gender flipped.
Okay.
We also have a new episode of the Squared Circle Time Machine, Starcade 1994.
Okay.
And a new live watch, Bevo Home for the Holidays. That is 2 hours of everybody's favorite Longhorn doing what Longhorns do.
Okay.
And that's all it was a thing on TV.com. Next week, it's an event 365 days in the making as we talk about the people, the places, the events, the hosts, the shows, and everything else that made the best and worst of everything 2025 edition right here on WLTI. Until then, my friends, for Gordon
and Gordon consistently telling everybody to hurry up so that the show doesn't turn into a 3-hour-long spectacle.
we love him for that. We love him for that.
Yeah, sure you do.
But until then, my friends, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.